Good evening. Welcome, welcome. Come on in. We're ready for Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church Disciples of Christ Bible Study. That's right. We're here and we're waiting for you.
Well, we're getting ready to get started here, and we do praise God for this day that He's created, and we're certainly grateful for this season of the year. Fall is here, believe it or not, and we have a right, we have a reason, and we have a responsibility to give God praise because God has been faithful to us. He's been kind. He's been just. He's been merciful. And He's looked beyond our faults. And guess what? He's gotten right to our needs. And so we ought to give Him praise every chance that we have. And so we certainly thank God for this day. And we thank God for those of you who are joining us and on the live stream side as well as Facebook Live. And we're certainly grateful for each of you as you participate in this study tonight. We're in the Psalms of David, 73 Psalms attributed to David. And we're going to be a little ambitious tonight, Lady Kim, and see if we can't cover Psalm 51 through 54. Psalm 51 through 54. Hope you had an opportunity to read it. They are not really that long, and 51 is very familiar, and I think we should be able to cover 52 and 53 and hopefully 54. If not, we'll start with 54 on next week, but we're certainly grateful for this day. Are y'all enjoying this weather? I can live with this all season long, Lady Kim. But it would throw some things out of order. And so we have to have the spring, the winter, the summer, and the fall in order to be complete. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. But it still feels like a little summer.
Still feels summer to you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because it's cold in the morning, but it warms up in the afternoon.
Well, we've got a while yet before daylight saving time kicks in, don't we?
Well, I think it's in November.
In November.
First weekend in November.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and jump right in tonight. We got a lot of ground we're going to try to cover. Let us know that the sound is coming in good and that you all can hear us and that you're getting a clear signal as we prepare to get started tonight. All right. What does that say?
It needs to be a little cooler.
Oh, a little cooler. Okay. Well, let's have a prayer and let's get ready to jump in. Father, we bless you. We honor you. We thank you for another day. We thank you for our lives and for your Spirit's abiding presence. Thank you for continuing to bless us even in spite of ourselves. And thank you, dear Lord, for being a God who not only hears, but you answer. And so we thank you now tonight that our faith is going to increase. And those who will be a part of this particular study, they will grow in their faith. And we give you praise in advance for what you're about to do. So we thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and praise God. All right, Psalm 51 through 54. But before we go there, Lady Kim, are you ready to give us just a little update on yesterday? Just a little bit of update?
Just a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that.
Do you have it?
I think so.
I'm not putting you on the spot, Emma.
Yes, you are.
What?
But,
wait a minute, why you say that?
No, I'm just teasing.
All right.
You continued your series on big faith.
Big faith.
Great faith.
Great
faith. You know, and you talked about people from the Bible who had great faith.
Mm-hmm.
Great, their faith was so great that they asked Jesus to heal. You've been talking about healings.
Yeah,
over
that's
the
right.
past three Sundays or four Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And so this past Sunday you talked about the crossover.
Okay.
The crossover, when Jesus had finished and people were listening and he went into Capernaum, there was a centurion servant there.
Right.
And the centurion servant had come on behalf of his master. And he was saying that his master was sick and about to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so... when the centurion heard of Jesus, you know, he sent some people to Jesus,
okay.
you know, to ask for the healing. But they pleaded with him and they said, he deserves this.
The centurion servant, right, yes, was the one who was about to die.
Yes.
Okay, okay.
And so the centurion asked him to heal this servant, and he says, you know, when he comes, when I'm getting it all mixed up. Mm-hmm. When the centurion tells people to come, they come, or right, go, they right, go, you know, but he is asking this on behalf of his servant who
okay,
is ill.
Okay. And you know, as you were talking, Lady Kim, and I know you're finding that scripture, but that centurion, he was one who had authority and he had responsibility. He was also a leader in the community, and he was a high ranking officer in the Roman army.
Right.
And as a result of that, he really identified with Jesus in terms of his authority and his power.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it clear by sending his, I think he sent elders first and then he sent friends. He sent the elders first to just get a word and tell Jesus to come. And Jesus was en route to the centurion's house. Now, keep in mind now, the centurion was a Gentile. And so the crossover in terms of Jesus's approach is that he was willing to risk breaking protocol and going into the Gentile territory and the Gentile's home and being under his roof and doing what he had requested of him.
Right.
But before Jesus could get to where this servant, this centurion servant was, he had sent another entourage, and they told Jesus that the centurion said, don't even come, don't even bother, right, you know, because we understand you a man of power and prestige, and that you have, we understand the whole part about how important it is for you to make delegation and the power that you possessed. And he said, if you just speak a word,
yeah,
you know, the servant will be healed.
Yeah, he felt unworthy. He said, I don't even deserve for you to come under my roof.
That's right.
But if you just speak a word, my mm-hmm, servant will be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you talked about how big faith requires that we have a crossover move. What was that crossover move? You talked about the crossover move in basketball, the
right,
crossover.
Right.
You talked about several different crossovers.
Yeah, because and that crossover move, particularly in basketball, many people can identify with who are basketball enthusiasts. They understand Allen Iverson, how he used that to his advantage to throw his opponent off guard and off balance. And we can look at it in the real sense that God has called us to have a crossover move to throw the enemy off track and off balance, and for us to have an advantage in terms of what it is that we're trying to accomplish for the kingdom. But the crossover really has to do with us going into areas that we are really not comfortable. We want to be comfortable. We don't want to really stretch ourselves. We want to go about business as usual. We go to work the same way. We follow the same route. We go to church the same way. We go to the same grocery store for the most part. But there's a point in our lives where the faith that we have causes us to have a crossover where we have to move from our comfort zones and move into unfamiliar territory.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. So this, your second point was big faith requires humility and compassion for others.
Right.
And how we, like you said, move from our comfort zone. We always talk about me, my four, and no more.
That's right.
You
That's
know, we
right.
always pray selfish prayers. We pray for ourselves. But what about praying for someone else
Somebody
sometimes?
Else.
What about doing something good for someone else sometimes?
That's right. And I was really intrigued with that because of the way the centurion, he did not come on behalf of family members, nor did he come on behalf of his own spouse, if he had one. But this was a servant, a person who could be, he could dispose of him and have somebody else in his place overnight.
Absolutely.
But obviously, he had a compassion for this servant because the servant was committed. He was faithful. and it talked about how he had rendered service in helping build synagogues and how faithful he was. And Jesus just got a sense of that, and he also felt that the centurion was really trying to make sure that he understood how important this man was to the kingdom, even though he was not a relative or a blood Murray, if you will, or blood relative to the centurion. And so that says a whole lot, because all too often when we pray, we get so caught up in our own selfish prayers, our own desires, the things that we want to try to accomplish, the things that we have, the needs that we are going through, the problems that we're asking God to solve. But we have to get to the place where if we're going to stretch our faith, if we're going to have big faith, as we call it, then you have to move beyond just praying for yourself.
Amen.
And you have to be willing to pray for somebody else.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so what was that last point, Reverend, you said? Compassion. I talked about the whole process in terms
humility
of
humility and compassion.
Humility and compassion. Mm-hmm. And how we need to have that same kind of humility and exhibit that same kind of compassion when we see others in need.
Absolutely.
And we talked about the Collierville incident that occurred, as well as what's happening on the borders with these refugees, and how if we can't do anything else, we can at least pray and ask God to just help and deliver and set free by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, we certainly praise God for each of you. Is that our nephew on the call there,
yes,
Lady Kim?
Is
that
Anthony.
Brother Anthony Hanley? Good to see you, sir. Hope all is well. I heard the last report that you were doing much better, making progress. And so know that we have you on our prayer list here at ATOP, and we're looking forward to when you're up and about and able to come, and we're going to allow you to share your testimony with the church family about how God has brought you from a mighty long way. So we certainly thank you for being a part of this particular time together tonight, and for each of you who are sharing. Now, let me let you know on the front end that you can go ahead and submit any prayer requests that you might have, and so that we can be in prayer. And I see we have somebody on the call that we want to make sure that you call the church office. And Lady Kim, can you type that in so that she can call the church office tomorrow, that we can see how we can be of assistance? We want to meet needs. We want to help and assist. Many times there's a process that happens, and we hope and pray that when the process is in front of you, that you will be obedient and follow the process. This is not the medium for that to happen. And so we want to make sure that we get in touch with, who is that, Miss Cross, and see if we can be of assistance to her. So we're putting the church number in at this time. Hope that you will call. If you don't get anyone, just leave a message, and we will get back with you sometimes tomorrow. All right, well, let's jump in, Lady Kim. This 51st division of Psalm 51, this is a familiar psalm, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
A lot of people rely on this psalm, and they look to this psalm. There are several psalms that many times people highlight and that they use as their go-to psalm, if you will.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And this is one of them. And so this is about 19 verses in this psalm. But as I was looking at this today, this is really dealing with David's sin.
Yes.
And David is really praying for God's forgiveness in this particular psalm.
That's right.
And so he has gone through a terrible ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
He crossed the line with Bathsheba.
Yes.
And had her husband killed. And he went in and slept with her. And as a result of this, just a little background on this particular psalm, as a result of that, David is confronted by Nathan the prophet, and Nathan began to share with David some serious concerns about what he had done and how he had fallen short. In 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, in verse number 3, that's the discourse that Nathan the prophet was having, the conversation that he was having with David around this whole issue of him sleeping with Bathsheba and him committing the sin. And so we find this psalm really is a psalm of repentance, if you will, a psalm of forgiveness. And David is coming before God, and he's seeking God's forgiveness for the wrong that he has done.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yes. And so I guess the title or a theme for this particular psalm, Psalm 51, would be a penitent psalm.
Right.
You know, a penitent. Penitent meaning sorrowful, a penitent psalm. So would you like for me to...
Let's read. Let's read a little of that, and we're going to try to cover 51, 52, and 53, and possibly 54 tonight. Let's go ahead and read a little of that and see what that psalm has to say to us as we unpack it tonight.
Okay, the 51st division of Psalms, verse 1: Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteousness and burnt offerings offered whole, when bulls will be offered on your altar.
All right. That's a powerful psalm, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's a whole lot in there, I tell you. David is really going through a lot of anguish here because of his sin. Mm-hmm. And he is owning up to his sin. Mm-hmm. He's confessing in a real sense his sin, and he's asking God to have mercy on him and to forgive him. It's really, as you talked about it, a psalm that deals with forgiveness, mm-hmm. and how important it is for when we fall short, I believe, as we make this relevant, and when we do things that's not pleasing to God, that we have to acknowledge our sins, we have to confess our sins, and we have to come openly and honest before God and allow God to do what he's going to do in our lives. Because David talks about being broken. He's talking about how even after God delivers, or either God forgives, that if God would do that, then he said he would do his best to help be a lead in making sure that others don't go down that same path.
Amen. You know, I often wonder if Nathan the prophet had not confronted David, if he would have repented.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when your sin is exposed,
okay,
that's when you're most sorrowful, because David thought he had
when
gotten,
you get caught.
Yeah, right. He had thought he had gotten away with
right,
murder.
Right, right.
Really gotten away with murder.
Right.
Because as you mentioned, he slept with Bathsheba, and Bathsheba conceive. Mm-hmm. And so he called Bathsheba's husband Uriah home off of the off from battle,
right,
hoping that Uriah would go in and sleep with his wife.
Right.
But Uriah was so committed to the fight, to being a warrior, he didn't even sleep with his wife.
That's right.
And so when that plan failed, then David sent Uriah out to fight on the front lines.
On the front lines.
And you know what happens on the front lines. There are a lot of casualties.
That's right.
And just as David had anticipated, Uriah was killed.
Mm-hmm.
But Nathan the prophet came to him,
mm-hmm,
and revealed, or not revealed his sin, because he already knew, but let him know that he knew what time it was.
That's right. And there was a consequence for
his actions.
And right. So this is really powerful, and I think many of us are already familiar with it. We're moving into a whole nother section tonight, Lady Kim.
Oh, that's right.
As it starts in this section two, mm-hmm, how God goes before us. And
yes,
when I saw that, you know, I think about the shepherd, how the Lord is our shepherd, and how he goes before us, and the shepherd looks after the sheep. And so this whole section that we're moving into, we've already wrapped up dealing with God beside us. Now we're getting to a section where we see God is going, goes before us.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're absolutely right. I think Nathan and God had a serious conversation, because keep in mind now, David was a man after God's own heart, and he did make a terrible judgment call and a terrible mistake where he desired Bathsheba. And so as a result of that, his sin, David is really being honest and open, and he's really being sincere about how he wants God to forgive him and how he wants God to have mercy on him. He talks about purge me with hyssop,
mm-hmm,
and I shall be clean. That's verse number 7. And I shall be whiter than snow. We hear that oftentimes. And then verse number 10, he's continuing to confess. He says, God, create within me a clean heart, O God, and renew. I know your translation said something different,
mm-hmm,
but it says renew the right spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you see, that's key, that right spirit. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of spirits out there,
mm-hmm,
and we got the enemy, the chief component, the chief architect in terms of the wrong spirit. When you see something that says the right spirit, it's clear that there must be a wrong spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so David wanted the right spirit. He says, create within me, renew in me the right spirit, and cast me not away from thy presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Now, we know the Spirit didn't come till on the day of Pentecost, mm-hmm, for the believers, but we see that God would have the Holy Spirit coming in and out of the Old Testament, and it would rest upon those whom he chose during that time.
Absolutely.
And so David was he was consciously aware of the fact that he needed God's presence in his life.
Amen. He felt God's presence before.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who know, who have felt God's spirit moving, we know when the presence of God is moving mightily in our lives.
That's right.
And when we sin, then there's a wall or a partition that goes up, a barrier that sometimes prevents us from getting to God. It prevents us from getting to God, but it never prevents God from getting
that's
to
right.
us.
That's right.
Right.
That's
and
right.
It only prevents us from getting to God because of our sin, because
mm-hmm,
we're guilty, because we have not asked for forgiveness of sin.
We put up a roadblock.
Absolutely. So we need a crossover.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
There it is.
We need a crossover. And that crossover is creating me a clean heart.
Right.
And renew a right spirit in me.
And then when you look at verse number 12, that's another powerful verse
in
there.
Oh, yes, it is.
David says, restore unto me
the joy
of my salvation.
Yes.
Now, that's interesting how he's talking about salvation. He's talking about the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's using words that we are familiar with in the New Covenant.
Testament.
In the New Covenant. But this is something that God was dealing personally with David in terms of him being restored because he had lost his joy. And you know, when you lose your joy, only God can restore that and get you back on track. And David had lost his joy in terms of how he desired to please God and how he desired to do what God would have him to do. And so I think oftentimes we can get to the point, Lady Kim, where we lose our joy. We lose our excitement. We lose the zeal, and we lose the enthusiasm to serve and to be excited about what God is doing in the lives of others as well as in our own lives.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I still get excited when people come and give their life to the Lord and make a confession of faith. I mean, it just does something to me. A lot of people just kind of take it for granted nowadays, you know. But if heaven can rejoice over one sinner who come for repentance, the least we can do is get excited about somebody coming into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And so after he finished that, then that's what at verse 13, and we'll move on. He says, "Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee."
Yes.
So David has really said, "Look, Lord, if you do this, I'm going to be on a major campaign, an evangelistic campaign to teach transgressors, those who have fallen short there, you know, your ways, and then also I'm going to help them to come in out of darkness into the marvelous light." So he's talking a lot of New Testament talk in this particular psalm.
He is. And he sounds a lot like us.
Yeah.
That God, you just forgive me, you know, for all that I've done. And I promise I'm going to teach, you know, the people about you.
Okay. All right. All right, so anything else particularly in that particular psalm, you want to just kind of highlight as we get ready to move now to Psalm 52?
Yeah, I think you highlighted already the most familiar verses in that scripture, you know, that when it talks about creating me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. And so underline that or mark that with your highlighter. It's in Psalm 51, verse number 10. You know, that's one of those passages of scriptures that you need to commit to memory.
Okay. There are 9 verses in Psalm 52. And I think this one really deals with how God will punish the wicked. Mm-hmm. And it's talking, David is continuing seemingly into the same vein in terms of how he's just really trying to make sure that he breaks free from all of this past and all of the ignorance that he and the lying and the cheating, and he's asking God to really step in now and move in a powerful and a mighty way. Let's read that and let's see how this unfolds.
The 52nd division of Psalm, starting at verse 1. "Why do you boast of evil, you mighty hero? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? You who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and pluck you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at you, saying, 'Here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others.' But I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. For what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people. And I will hope in your name, for your name is good."
Your name is good. That's good, because David has already asked for God's forgiveness in Psalm 51, and now this Psalm 52 really deals with the fate of the wicked, and he's describing how they have done all of these things, and the verdict has come in that God will punish the wicked. And so David is serving notice in this particular psalm about when you do evil and when you align yourself with evil, then you can expect God to punish you because of your wickedness.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add to this one? Any comments? Do you have any comments coming in? You having some problems with your iPad tonight?
It won't stay on.
Okay.
Yes. Well, yes, and Laretha, I think she was talking about Psalm 51. That was a serious cry from David.
Mm-hmm.
And so David is still, you know, the questions to the mighty men are, why do you boast in your mischief? Why do you boast and find pleasure in evil rather than in doing good?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that came to mind as I read this psalm was, again, it's just like today. You have people that boast in doing wrong, mm-hmm. boast in doing evil, take pride in doing what's not right. But guess what? The wicked shall be cut down. But not only that, it brings the spotlight on ourselves.
That's right.
That we have all sinned.
That's it.
And fallen short of God's glory. So even though the wicked boast of what they're doing, then again we have to look back at David and how he was a man after God's own heart, but he failed also.
Mm-hmm.
And just like those who boast of evil, and just as David loved God, but he fell by the wayside, we too do the same thing. But we know how to turn around and ask for God's forgiveness. And so I think that's what David meant at the end, that those who boast in evil about evil never trust and depend on God.
Mm-hmm.
But those who love God and trust God, we do right and we praise God and ask for forgiveness.
Okay. So this is powerful here, and it's dealing with that whole issue of how David is just really putting it out there about the evil works of those who are wicked, and how they are, that God will punish them, and he's asking God to really avenge him, if you will, for the personal loss and these godless people who are out there doing all of these ungodly things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so I think the bottom line for Psalm 52 is that God will punish the wicked.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's moving right on to 53. These were some relatively short psalms here. We've already covered 51, and we've just finished 52. And I think there are about six verses
in
53. And so let's go ahead and read those six verses, and then let's see how far we get with that. And maybe we'll get a chance to even hint at 54 tonight. It's still, the hour's still early, so we have about 25 more minutes. You think we'll be able to do that, Lady Kim?
Maybe.
Yes. All right. That didn't sound too convincing, but we're going to try. All right. Go ahead. If you don't mind reading.
Okay. 53.
Mm-hmm.
The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. God looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand and any who seek God. Everyone has turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Do all these evildoers know nothing? They devour my people as though eating bread. They never call on God, but there they are, overwhelmed with dread, where there was nothing to dread. God scattered the bones of those who attacked you. You put them to shame, for God despised them. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When God restores his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad.
Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? Because the heading for this one really talks about the fate of the food and how all too often I think the bottom line is that we all have sin.
Mm-hmm.
And many times when we don't acknowledge and we don't align ourselves with trying to do what's right, then we can easily fall into that category of being a fool. When we allow our ignorance to be of such where we won't believe the word, we won't accept the word, we don't believe in God, we don't understand what the word says to us in terms of giving us the forgiveness and giving us the wholeness of life, then we fall into that category of being a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes it even more important for us as believers to make sure we get the word out. Because if you look at this psalm, and there's a note there, I think, Lady Kim, that this is almost identical to Psalm 14.
Mm-hmm.
And so this psalm is really a refresher, and it has to do with the sin and the people and how we all have sinned. And I think you made mention of that earlier. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even though we strive for perfection, we try to do what's right, and we continue to seek God's face on every hand, even for the believer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we fall short sometimes.
Yes.
And we have to continue to deal with the shortness that's in all of us.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, God looks down from heaven to see if we understand the spiritual thing, seeking of God,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Psalm 14 talks about this also.
That's right.
And so it goes back again that none of the workers of iniquity have true knowledge of God. You know, we see people and we wonder, you know, what were they thinking, or how
right.
can people do that, you know, when tragic things happen or when people do evil things? That's because they have no God conscience.
Mm.
That's because they have no spirituality. They have no, you know, they're controlled by another spirit. And so the difference between them and us is that we have the Spirit of God that lives within us,
mm-hmm.
and that we don't purposefully try to do evil and wicked things. Because if you purposefully try to do evil and wicked things, you need to check which spirit you're following.
Wow.
Or the spirit that you have in you.
Okay, that's good. That's good. And I think even Jesus confronted the disciples in the New Testament when he challenged them about knowing their spirit. You know, you got to know what manner of spirit you are of, because there are many spirits out there that's vying for our attention. And so it's an old saying, and I believe it's true, that whatever you feed you feed your spirit the most is what you're going to become, or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Yeah.
Is that where you go?
I don't remember exactly.
Oh,
whatever you feed the most is, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
what you are.
Yeah. Okay, because if you feed yourself a lot of junk and a lot of things of the world, then that's going to be the controlling factor in your decisions and in the process that you use to kind of make some moves and determine what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. But if you're constantly involved and engaged in spiritual disciplines and you're feeding yourself good things and you're thinking on the word and you're meditating on the word and you're allowing that word to be a seed and fertile soil unto your soul, then that will be the driving force in terms of your decision making and the actions and how you move forward in terms of what you're going to do.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. Well, this last psalm is Psalm 54, Lady Kim, and there are only 7 verses. Can you believe that? So I believe we can handle that.
I think we can handle 7 verses.
You think
verses?
So?
Yes.
All right. Are there any comments? We just want to know if there are any comments that anyone wants to share Lady Kim's iPad keeps going in and out. We're trying to make sure that we follow the, what is that one coming up there?
The one you feed the most would have the power over you, whether it be your spirit man or your flesh.
That's right. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, man. Sister Michelle.
If you feed that the flesh, then that's what you're going to reap.
Yes.
But if you feed that spirit man, then that's what's going to be your guiding force throughout your decisions and the processes and everything that you accomplish.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the one you feed the most is going to become the strongest.
That's
I
right.
I think that's how it went.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, your flesh or either your spirit.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, the 54th Psalm.
This is really a prayer for deliverance, and we're talking about David's 73 divisions that are attributed to him, and we are in a second section now, which deals with God goes before us. And so we've already covered 51, 52, and 53, and we're going to read 54, only six or seven verses there. How many? Seven verses.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get ready to wrap it up for tonight. But if there are any prayer requests or any praise reports that we need to be aware of, go ahead and put those in the box as we get ready to read this last chapter for tonight, Psalm 54. We want to make sure before we have prayer that we include you in that particular request.
All right. The 54th division of Psalm, starting in verse 1. Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes.
Okay, so this is really dealing with a prayer of deliverance, and I think all too often we find ourselves, and this goes back to what we said earlier, we have to go ahead and confess, and we have to acknowledge where we are, and just openly confess that in order for us to get it out and get it into the atmosphere and make sure that we release that, because if not, what we are trying to hold can become a hindrance to us, preventing us from being all that God has called us to be. And so David here is really praying a prayer for deliverance. And so it distinguishes prayers of healing and prayers, other kind of prayers. But that deliverance is key.
Amen.
We need to pray that prayer of deliverance, that God might release the stronghold, that God might loose us from anything that's trying to hinder and hold us, because the enemy wants to keep us in a stagnant position.
Amen.
And he doesn't want us to go forth and be strong. John 10:10 is always appropriate, because it says the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so we have to understand that the MO of the enemy is for to steal our joy, to sabotage our blessings, to keep us from experiencing the fullness of what God has for us. And but Jesus says, no, that's not the case. He says, I've come that you might have life, and not just life, but life more abundantly. And so we
Amen.
Praise God for that passage, because it gives us clear distinction in terms of what the enemy is trying to do and what God is all about.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. You saw me looking kind of strange. A fly just zoomed past my face.
Well, we're moving right through, Lady Kim. Any in this 54th, I think the bottom line is that God is our best friend.
Yes, he is.
There's not a friend like Jesus, right?
There's not a friend like
no,
Jesus.
No, not one.
That's right. Amen.
So that kind of brings us to 54. Anything in there you see that you want to lift up or pull out of Psalm 54?
You know, I was thinking when you said that we most of the times we pray for, or we repent and we pray, ask for God's forgiveness for our sins. But how many times do we ask God for deliverance,
mm-hmm,
to
mm-hmm.
deliver us from what we're going through,
okay.
or to deliver us from what we're in? You know, is there a big difference between repentance and deliverance? I think so. When we repent, that means we're sorry for what we've done.
Right.
But when we are delivered, I think that breaks the stronghold.
That's good.
That has us bound.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to not only ask God for forgiveness, but ask God for his deliverance.
Okay. That's good. And so there are a lot of addictions that many times can hold people hostage,
mm-hmm.
and not allow them to experience their best life and their blessed life. But once we identify, and David has made it clear in terms of identifying what he's going through and his issues, and he's openly confessing it, putting it in the atmosphere, releasing it, and letting God handle it. And God, I believe God looks at us and he sees our heart when we do that. And the deliverance begins to come forth, because it's something that we really need to be free from. The word says, he who the Son sets free
is free.
Thank
indeed.
You, God. It's yes. free indeed. And so there are some things that you really need to be free from and stop trying to live a dual life with the sin that you enjoy, or mm-hmm. the sin that's have you has you bound.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that fourth verse kind of jumps out at me too, where it says, surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. And a lot of times we forget who sustains us.
Mm-hmm.
We think about, you know, our bank account sustain us, or the position or status on our job sustains us. But it's none of those things. Only God sustains
us. Only
God. Because if our job was gone tomorrow, then our money would eventually go away. Because I know if you anything like me, we don't have no whole lot of money just laying around. But your money would get funny and your change would get strange. Then you just need to rely and trust on God, because it is God who sustains us.
That's right. And so he is the source. He is our strength. He is our joy. He is the one who makes things happen. And in him we do live, move, and have our being. And we understand clearly, even as we mature in the things of God, that we're nothing without him, and we can do nothing. And I think we laid out a lot of different, paradigms, or a lot of different ways to explore in terms of where people are, because some people are still fools and they're still caught up in trying to enjoy the pleasures of this world and trying to do deceitful and deceptful. Is that right?
Deceitful
things. And they find themselves in a revolving door of continuing to go back and forth and never being able to completely fulfill what God has for their life, or understand how there is deliverance in Jesus.
Amen. We have a couple of comments, one from the streaming side and one from the Facebook side. Evangelist Darlene says, how many times do we confess our faults one to another and ask for forgiveness from the one we have offended? That's a good one also.
Okay.
You know, we need to confess our faults one to another. And then Dr. Quali said, that's good. It doesn't do any good to ask God to heal me if I am not delivered from poor stewardship of my mind, my body, and my spirit.
That's good.
Yeah.
And so we have when you openly confess it and when you openly acknowledge it, I think that pushes you to the place of asking God to really deal with your situation, because sometimes we want to hold on to a lot of things that we don't want God to release us from because of the pleasure that it might give us, or the things that we might think will bring us give us happiness.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so, Evangelist, what was her question again?
She didn't have a question.
Oh, it was a comment.
She had a comment.
Okay. You're having all kind of little technical challenges right through there. Okay, go ahead.
She was just saying, how many times do we confess our faults one to another?
Okay, because as it relates to that passage in James.
James 5 and 16.
Mm-hmm. He says, but if we confess our faults one to another, what does it say? Let me see. James 5 and what?
16.
All right, let's see if I can get it right quick. You're already in your Bible app, though, aren't you?
I am.
Okay. Let's see what it says.
Well, I wasn't. I had to flip out to...
James.
James 5 and 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective.
Okay. And that's that whole passage that deals with the effectual fervent prayers.
Prayers of the righteous availeth much.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so that confession is necessary. And it doesn't give a specific timeline in terms of how many times you have to do that. But I think it goes in line with what you have before you in terms of how often you need to confess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Well, this is good. This has been good. So where do we go next week, Lady Kim?
Well, we were supposed to go to 54, but...
We covered 54, didn't
we? Yes, we go 55 and 56.
Okay.
55 has 23 verses, 56 has 13.
Okay. We should be able to cover those on next week. And we're certainly grateful for each of you on this particular time tonight, and those who were here, of course, and view this particular study later. But we're going through the 73 Psalms that are attributed to David, and just trying to make it applicable to where we are and what we face with, what we are faced with. And it may not have been as serious as some of the things David had to endure, but I think it sets a pattern and a tone for us and a model for us to follow in terms of how David had to deal with his shortcomings, and we too have to deal with those. And God stands ready, willing and able to not only hear, but he not only hears, but he answers, and then he's ready to be our shepherd and lead us in the way in which we should go, so that we won't have to continue to fall in those same traps over and over and over again.
Amen. Well, we should learn from the first time
that's right,
fall in that trap. But that's just like there's a hole in the street, you know, and you're walking down the street, you fall in that hole, and you come down that same street the next day. You know that hole is there. You ought to avoid that hole.
Okay.
But some of us don't learn the first time.
Okay.
Or maybe some of us are not paying attention the first time. So we're going to keep continuing to fall until we learn that lesson and ask God for repentance.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Mighty good. All right. Well, let's prepare to close out tonight. Are there any requests that you see there?
Well, I got a text while we were in Bible study. Sister Lynette Henderson asked prayers for her family. She lost her cousin today, her mom's sister's son from COVID. He was 33 years old.
Wow.
So she asked that we lift their family up in prayer during this time. And also keep, of course, Minister Mary Shotwell in our prayers in the loss of her nephew. That funeral was this past Saturday, and also Sister Michelle Carter in the loss of her cousin, and that funeral was this past Saturday also.
Okay. All right. Any other requests that you can think of that we...
Not that I can, no other requests. Don't forget, for our leadership, we do have a leadership meeting this Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m.
Okay.
So this Saturday, we're looking for all of our leaders to join us. You should have received the link already. Sister Deborah says, thanks, ATOP, for your prayers and the cards during her loss. Yes, she lost her uncle a few weeks ago. Miss Jessica asked to pray for Nora Dent for the healing of her body. And you know what? There's another prayer request. We had a visitor to come to our service on yesterday, and she asked for prayer for a Portia Denton that has cancer. I don't know the visitor's name, but she did turn in a piece of paper that said, please pray for Portia Denton. She has cancer. And so I did put Portia's name on our prayer list. But when I saw that Nora Dent, that reminded me of the Portia Denton that needs prayer.
Okay. All right. Well, Lady Kim, will you close us with a word of prayer as we prepare to close out tonight?
Sure. God, we thank you tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you are worthy to be praised. We lift up the prayer request to you tonight, God. You know, God, the prayer requests that were mentioned today, God, the prayer for Nora Dent, healing for her body, the prayer for Portia Denton, healing for her body, prayers for all those that are on our sick and shut-in list, the ATOP sick and shut-in list, prayers for all, healing for all of their bodies, God. We need you to be the healer that you are, God. And we thank you, God, and we bless you and we honor you. And God, we lift up our bereaved families to you. We lift up Sister Lynette in the loss of that cousin. We lift up Sister Michelle in the loss of that cousin. We lift up Minister Shotwell's family in the loss
of
that nephew.
Yes, God.
And we ask that you comfort them, oh God, as they grieve the loss of their loved ones. Oh God, we've lost so many over the past 24 months. And God, we ask that you would just intervene and that your arms of mercy and grace and peace surround those who have lost loved ones. And God, we ask a special blessing on those people that are listening on the airways on tonight, God, and those who will view this Bible study later on. God, as a result, we ask that they be blessed, oh God, that you put a hedge of protection around them, God.
Thank you, God.
We pray for Candy Cross right now, God, that you would meet every need in her life, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to bless and keep our ATOP family, God, as we go forth to try to continue to do the work that you've set down for our hearts and hands to do. We love you. We thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And praise God. Well, thank each of you for being a part. We had a couple of visitors on tonight for the first time. Thank y'all so very much for joining us. We're here each Monday night at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we hope that you can join and be a part of it again real soon.
Amen. Thank you all for joining tonight. We love you guys.
All right.
Hope to see you Sunday, 9:45, 3939 Riverdale Road. God bless you all.
Bye-bye. Right. Be blessed.